In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Hi.
Hi.
What's happening?
Hi.
You seem excited.
I have a falsetto too, okay? I am excited because, you know, another feud, another day, another movie. You know, what's there not to be excited about?
I know. You're completely right.
So why don't you tell the good folk, our listeners, what we're doing here today?
For sure. So we take a movie, we toss a coin, heads argues for and tails argues against.
And the movie we're feuding this week is a very special movie,
I
always say. Hmm. But it is a continuation to one of our earlier feuds. Mm-hmm. It's a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 10 years apart sequel. I really hope people have watched this movie and hence can appreciate a feud. Not that well known, not that well watched.
I completely agree. I haven't seen it either.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen the movie. Oh. Can we tell them which movie?
Oh, it's Richard Linklater's Before Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
From 2004, I think.
I guess.
Ish, yeah. A follow-up to his game-changing movie Before Sunrise from 94, I think, because they're about 10 years apart.
Nine-ish. Also Game Changer?
Oh, did I say Game Changer?
You did.
I have revealed my feelings.
No, you said Game Changer about the first one.
Oh, first one was a Game Changer.
Okay. I scared you, didn't I?
You made me reveal my feelings anyway. Listen, I think it was a Game Changer, but I haven't seen this movie. I've only seen this movie once, and it's been ages since I last watched it. So, you know, who knows? Fresh pair of eyes and all that.
I completely agree, man. I haven't seen this movie as well, but Linklater's made some decent ones. So no reason to think that this one isn't.
Yeah, I love Dazed and Confused too, his early work. That's a classic. Boyhood now, and maybe Before Sunrise, and maybe Before Sunset. Why don't we get to the coin toss and figure it all out?
Yeah, please, let's do it.
Let's do that. I will be tossing the coin. Heads means I argue for the movie, and tails means I argue against. Let's go. And it's heads.
Okay.
I take back the maybe, Game Changer. And the last time I watched it, I loved it.
I'm just thankful, man, because I saw the prequel. And if that's anything to go by, I just avoided a bogey right there.
Excuse me, sir. It's not the prequel. That's like calling A New Hope a prequel. It's the original movie, Before Sunrise.
Whatever, dude.
This is the sequel.
It sucked, and I'm really glad that...
It worked. The coin came tails. It sucked. We're not even talking about the first movie. We're talking about this movie.
Gladly. I would love to not talk about the first movie at all.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it in a while. Are you at least going to give it, you know,
I haven't seen it, so obviously I'm going to watch it, like open mind. But
why do we even pretend, Vikram? Yeah, I wonder.
You set me up, so I had to follow through. But
I know. In improv, that's called pimping.
Pimping, yeah. But listen, I haven't seen it. I'm genuinely curious because I think he's a good director overall. Remains to be seen after this movie. Also, I think this movie has another sequel. It's a trilogy, right?
Yeah, before. You haven't seen that either. I mean, obviously, you haven't seen this one. But, like, you're missing out. But, I mean, I look forward to rewatching and then defending this position.
Chal, let's do it.
Chal, aaja maidan
mein. Let's go watch the movie.
Let's go watch the movie. Vikram.
What?
You know what I'm about to say.
I do.
I've already set this up in the intro, okay? You know what I'm about to say.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm about
to
say?
Yes, I do.
This is the Empire Strikes Back of the trilogy.
It's always either Godfather 2 or Empire with you, man. You can't hold back.
It's a three-part, it's a trilogy.
So every trilogy has the Empire, which is the best movie of the trilogy.
No, most trilogies don't. Empire Strikes Back, Terminator 2, and Before Sunset are the three examples of sequels that outdo the first one.
Dude, like a year later when I'll remind you that Vidur, you know, once you said that Empire Strikes Back, Terminator 2, and Before Sunset. God. Already you must regret that.
I'll add Godfather too. Sure. Okay.
Already you must regret that. Come on, dude.
You spoke about the third movie. The crazy thing is the third movie holds up as well. And by the way, all these movies are like 99% or whatever on Rotten Tomatoes for a reason. That's got to be a record, man. Star Wars didn't do that. And Godfather definitely didn't do that with the third one.
Therefore, this is better?
Yeah.
Because Rotten Tomatoes is be all end all.
Okay, you know what? Let's talk about this movie not... pretending not to have seen the third one because...
I haven't seen the third one.
Okay, great. Well, so much of this movie relies on the question mark of what happens to them. Just like the first movie did.
I didn't care. I truly don't care.
Vikram, how are you so heartless, bro? I knew you would be so against the movie for no reason. But this level of heartlessness, weren't you invested in Jesse and Celeste?
Yeah.
Julie Delpy.
Yeah.
Weren't you? How are you so heartless?
I was not, man. And I knew you were going to call me this very specific word.
Heartless?
Yes, I knew it. I have a couple of rebuttals pre-planned because I know that you're going to throw them at me. And heartless was one of the keywords to one
please.
Of them.
Please. Are you going to sing Kanye?
Huh?
Oh, heartless?
What? No, I'm not. But dude, this movie makes no sense because it's really pretentious. It's romanticizing love, the concept of love. And they try to like... make it look like it's grounded in reality because it's like an everyday conversation, slice of life. But it's romanticizing love in the most unhealthy manner, I feel.
This movie is the only movie that doesn't romanticize love. This and Marriage Story. And by the way, Marriage Story is getting so much acclaim and the Oscars are coming, it's going to win.
I haven't seen that as well.
Yeah, but the whole point of Marriage Story is it doesn't romanticize love. The movie is tongue-in-cheek named. It should be called Divorce Story. But it does cover these...
Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, what? No, you knew that.
I haven't seen the movie.
You haven't seen a trailer?
No.
Oh, you don't watch trailers, are you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's about a divorce. But like the whole point is there is no romanticism to this love. Here, the premise has some romanticism. But like how they interact, it's like so real. You know, they're never dumbing down. And in Before Midnight, by the way, that's when they totally get rid of the romanticism of love. Before Sunrise was the only romanticism of love. This is like what would happen if you met that girl that got away who didn't show up, by the way, when she promised to after 10 years. But you still pine for her. And then Before Midnight, they're like a middle-aged couple and they kind of hate each other, and it's a whole different kind of love. Linklater's a god, dude. What has he done?
Dude, listen, I live in the real world, man, and I'm not too hardline to say that.
Did you say heartless or what?
No, I did not.
What is you too hardline?
I'm not too hardline to admit that I am in love. I have been in love before, but this portrayal of love, it's what pollutes people into thinking.
Can we just pause there first at your confession?
Yeah, sure. It's not a confession.
How sweet, Vikram.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
And also, what
see,
bullshit.
See, that was grounded in reality,
what
by
bullshit.
The way.
Bullshit. Nobody who's been in love cannot like this movie. It's
I,
not my
I
fault.
Am in love currently as we speak, and I despise this movie.
I know you have
movie.
To say that because your girlfriend listens to this. But how you have a girlfriend in the first place, if you don't like this movie, I will not understand.
And, okay, I'll give you a concession.
It's
she
not
likes
my
this
fault,
movie.
Vikram.
She likes this movie.
Of course she loves this movie.
Yeah, but
she's a good person.
No. This portrayal of love, this is what pollutes people into thinking what love is, man. And then ends up disappointing them and they feel jaded and then they go to drugs and Xanax.
It's not my fault you haven't had amazing experiences or a French girlfriend. Okay, you can't understand this movie on the level it's meant to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
I, on the other hand, even though have had neither,
yeah,
I'm capable of having
imagination.
That's
the problem with this movie. It makes you believe that this is what love is. This is like it, and then it just completely disappoints you when it actually happens in real life.
Vikram, who hurt you, bro? What happened?
No, this movie hurt me because it's incorrect. Wow, that's a great term for this movie.
That's
it's
your
incorrect.
Argument?
No, it's my argument for you calling me heartless.
Oh, okay. You came prepped with this whole heartless speech. Can we move on?
Yeah, please.
How about like the film making? Like this film takes place basically in real time without even making it a gimmick. And Richard Linklater always plays with time, right? Like Dazed and Confused is one night. Before Sunrise was one day, hence the name. Before Sunset is like almost real time. And then what does he do? Boyhood is 14 years. The man is obsessed with time. He's like a Nolan.
He is. And he's actually stayed true to it. Like the movie was shot exactly 9 years or however many years it's been after the first movie. The characters, the actors, they all grew that much. So
isn't that amazing? Like,
it's pretty good.
Who does that, dude?
It's pretty good. Look, before I watched this movie, Linklater, in my mind was, you know, one of those mysterious directors who existed in the upper echelons of modern day directors. And it mostly came from like Boyhood, Dazed and Confused, A Scanner Darkly. I really like that movie as well.
I love Waking Life. It's one of
Waking
my favorite
Life
movies.
As well. But this film changed, this film and the prequel or the original, whatever, just changed it for me, man. I coupled it with the first one, looked up his filmography and saw some of the other stinkers he's done. And I was like, oh, he kind of
like
sucks.
What? Wait, I don't care.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about the other movies? Let's talk about this. You spoke about like 9 years apart. What other movie pulls that off? And when they do, it's always
shit. It's just shit. Bhai. No, but pull like, off ki baat nahi hai isme.
Bro, like an Indiana Jones tried it.
Harrison
like,
Ford is not giving a fuck about you after 9 years, bro. Like, Ethan Hawke is like still around. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. Sure. And this Delphi chick, I haven't seen her in anything.
Shuri Delphi, acclaimed actress. Ethan Hawke is super underrated.
I love Ethan Hawke. He's like, outside of these movies, he should like disengage with Linklater right now.
Oh my God.
Because he's ruining his like
Ethan
legacy.
Hawke's best work is with Linklater.
That is not true. That
he's
is
like
not
the
true.
Jake Gyllenhaal of our time, like so underrated.
Jake Gyllenhaal is the Jake Gyllenhaal of our time.
That's true. Yeah. But the second Jake Gyllenhaal 2.0.
No, he's done some really good movies. All the movies that I love of Ethan Hawke are non-Linklater movies.
Listen, I just watched it and I could feel the 10 years they spent apart. Even though when I first saw Before Sunrise, that was only a couple of years ago, I felt that, man. And like the aging of the characters, and by that I don't mean the physical, but actually like the mental aging where they are, expressing that. If I met someone who I only knew when I was 21 and now I'm 31, that's the kind of conversation I'd have. And if I had all the other baggage of she hadn't shown up in Vienna, were they supposed to meet in, or Hungary?
Vienna.
That's the kind of conversation I would have too. And then the first movie, it almost became about the sexual tension. You know, falling in love, but it's a night. How much love can they fall in? So it became about like this.
How much love can they fall in?
I just felt
spoken
that was,
like a true romantic.
I just felt that was like a sexual tension throughout the movie. And here, it's like, it is sexual tension still, but in a very adult way, and it almost doesn't matter the sexual part. But then when they're finally walking up the staircase, you know, to her apartment, it's mm-hmm. like such a will they, won't they, even though it's all happening within the space of 90 minutes. It's like all of 10 seasons of Friends, will they, won't they, mm-hmm. in one movie.
I think this movie should be called KLPD Paris Edition.
Yeah, maybe.
And the movie before this should be called KLPD Vienna Edition.
No, he got some in the last one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, she admitted it. She first pretended to forget. Or like,
oh, you're right.
They
yes,
didn't
yes.
have sex. Like a girl, she claims girls do this, and then admits that they did twice.
Ooh, so no KLPD.
We had sex twice, you idiot.
Yeah.
She kind of loses it in the middle. And that's the thing. I think that's the third act too. It's like when they finally speak the truth to each other and she has that breakdown in the car. And before that, you know, the first act, they were just kind of nervous and like, putting up this facade, which, by the way, our mutual friend Aditya Chhatwani once called a facade.
Yeah, did he? Thanks for that.
We're never letting that go, by the way. It was right on New Year's 2020, so it all became...
Wait, this is recent?
New decade and facade. So anyway, they're putting up this facade, right? And I don't know why I brought that up. But they're putting up this facade, and then they're like sort of going through the motions.
Mm-hmm. The screen... You can only call it facade now, by
okay. Okay, yeah, I don't want to say that word anymore. But the screenplay just captured it so beautifully. You know, the sort of re-meet cute that they have at the bookstore. And it's so weird. How are you supposed to navigate, a reunion like that? I didn't feel any cringe because the actors made me believe that they were doing a good job navigating it. That's what I like.
You know, that actually reminds me. I think this movie started off on the wrong note for me because that first scene itself was so unbelievable. So you expect me to believe that this Jhalla vagrant guy is now an acclaimed writer?
Yeah, so?
Just like an acclaimed writer and
don't
he happens...
You know other Jhalla people?
Who just become acclaimed writers?
I know three, bro.
You know three? Okay, let's take that off, Mike. But also like coincidentally, he's in a city where he's doing his book tour and she walks into the store. I mean, that's not believable.
But coincidentally, they didn't meet for years when she was living in New York. And then eventually she's back in Paris. Listen, you know, I have a very Danny Boyle Slumdog Millionaire spin to this mm-hmm. where they don't say this overtly, but I think he wrote the book to try and meet her. You know, like in Slumdog Millionaire, he goes on the show just to reveal himself to the Frida Pinto character.
Okay.
Are you following here?
I am following.
Do you understand love?
I do, unfortunately.
I think he wrote the book to me.
I understand real love. I don't understand cinema love.
Cinema.
Because that's all a facade.
Yeah, facade.
Facade. I'm so sorry.
Rhymes with decade.
I'm so sorry, dude. And it's just not believable. I have no respect for... what Ethan Hawke's character is saying and feeling as well, because he's kind of an asshole. He has a child and he's just like just flirting
around.
What's wrong with that?
He's in an unhappy marriage.
All right, so like end that and then do whatever you want,
the
man. Be a man.
Is a facade.
The marriage is a facade, so end it. And then go and romanticize with whoever.
He does end it.
He ends it.
He ends it after this union. He didn't know he's going to meet her. He couldn't end it in advance.
You know, so have some respect and don't do puchi muchi with someone else.
Puchi muchi. Worst name for flirting ever, by the way.
Puchi muchi part 2, bro, this movie.
Oh my God.
The puchi muchi trilogy. I'm on fire today.
That's a good name for it, for sure.
Puchi Muchi Trilogy.
Oh,
Puchi
my
Muchi.
God. I can't even deny that. That's so good.
It is, yeah.
Listen.
Also, exchange numbers, maybe? Are you, like, fucking stupid?
He said, why didn't we exchange numbers? It was just stupid love. Didn't you watch the first movie? It made sense in that moment they didn't exchange numbers.
No, it didn't.
Linklater convinced me. No. I would do that.
That's not real life. That's not real.
Haven't you seen Tamasha? It's like Tamasha.
I've not. What the f***? Tamasha.
It's Imtiaz Ali's shit movie with a very similar first half.
And it's comparable to this movie?
Well, they meet in Europe
Makes sense.
And then he tracks her down.
So Imtiaz did it better, you're saying?
No, he did not.
Is that a concession?
Shit. It was shit. I have a concession for you, but if you're going to be like this,
I won't
give it to you.
What's that?
Well, you talked about Ethan Hawke acting. I like Ethan Hawke as well. I think he did a great job in this movie. Julie Delpy, great actress.
Is she?
Not the best character in this movie. And this happens sometimes when guys write women characters. Now, by the way...
No, I think they all three of them wrote
it together. All three of them wrote it, which is an amazing collaborative process, dude. When does
also,
that happen? That
the when you have 10 years and you realize shit.
Okay, name other movies where actors get credit for writing or they actually work on the script like this.
They don't.
That's my point. That's a great thing.
No, but you're countering your own point.
Why?
If she helped write her own character and then you said not the best well-written character males can't write female characters. And
my males can't write thing was a hypothesis. It does happen frequently when males write for females where the females are annoying. You know, like when Phoebe Waller-Bridge writes Fleabag and writes a very annoying character for herself that you eventually come on board with, or like Frances Ha, you know, Greta Gerwig. They're just like tedious characters, but then they eventually become likable or redeeming. Julie Delpy, I don't think she had much to redeem herself apart from who she was in the first movie. Like, it didn't make sense to me why Ethan Hawke was so obsessed with her apart from the 10 years ago. And that would be fine in the context of this movie because it's just a reunion, but they actually end up together at the end of the trilogy and Before Midnight. That doesn't make much sense.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah, it is a spoiler. I mean, that everybody knows.
Look at my face. I don't care with her. But you keep calling her acclaimed actress. Have you seen anything else she's in?
Yeah, a bunch of French movies.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Like?
Yeah, I don't want to watch French cinema.
Oh, you don't? You don't? So you know the movies she has been in, but you haven't seen them?
No, listen.
So you're reading other people saying that she's a critical acclaimed actress.
Let's talk about this movie. I think she does a good job acting this movie. Her character is annoying, though. It's, unfortunately... It's like a couple of Venn diagrams. Okay,
couple of Venn diagrams. Dude, you've just gone behind me.
She's French.
Okay.
Second, she's an activist. Third, she's just annoying in general. And like bring all of them together. Those are like rough character traits to get over and make yourself likable. So I didn't like her too much in this movie, you know, but I was still rooting for her.
She wasn't the same in the first movie?
She wasn't, right? I mean, and that's part of the writing of this movie as well. The characters change across the movies. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Ethan Hawke's character, what is his name? Jesse? He's meeting her.
Asshole. I like to call him asshole.
Please, have some respect. He's meeting her after a while and he jokingly calls her like, oh, you're now an angry, manic, depressed activist. Mm-hmm. And that's true. Yeah, people have changed. Like, she's had bad love experiences. She's had bad life experiences. New York wasn't for her.
I don't understand what you're defending here. Like, you're saying that she's a good actor, but her character was weak. Therefore, her portrayal was weak.
That's my concession. Her character wasn't likable.
It wasn't likable. Neither is the actress, just to add on top of that. And I should have brought this up earlier when you were, I don't know how and why, talking about how this is such a good sequel. This is the worst sequel ever. Look, I don't get this movie, dude. Beyond Sunrise and even, like, you've already spoiled the next one for
me. Before.
Whatever it is, dude. After Moonlight, whatever you want to call it.
After Moonlight.
I don't get it. I'm so confused with the movie names. And you already...
The worst name for a sequel to Moonlight. You remember Moonlight, the movie? Imagine if Barry Jenkins came out with After Moonlight.
After Moonlight. I mean, he could, like, 7 years later, like, the kid has a kid or whatever. But you already spoiled the third one for me, but I was actually on the fence about watching it. Now I'm definitely not going to watch it. because my thought was they better be together in the third one.
They are together.
Yeah, that's good. Because if they weren't and it was going to be more of the same, then I was never going to watch a Linklater and or Ethan Hawke movie again.
Man, Ethan Hawke movies, I don't even know what there is to watch. I haven't seen him in a movie in a long time. But my favorite performances do remain Linklater. Even, by the way, you know, these two characters show up in Waking Life, if you remember.
Yeah.
And they're just having a conversation in bed. They're doing it. I mean, they're not named or anything. It's just clearly these two characters.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he let it slip that they are together. But what was amazing is that in Waking Life, you know, part of the movie is the whole experience, lucid dreaming and stuff. What Linklater has done is made the conversations the characters have part of the movie itself. You know what I mean? Like, part of it is, yeah, that they're meeting and all that. But then they're talking about climate change or dreams or whatever it is. And all that's fascinating, dude. It's like what Tarantino does. Like, he makes the dialogue and some random shit or a story about a watch up a butthole actually funny and part of the movie. Like, part of the movie experience. I felt like that with these conversations.
Don't compare Tarantino and this guy.
I just did.
No, don't.
Just they're both game changers. They both started at the same time, early 90s. They're both killing it still. One is richer and a little more effeminate than
and
the other.
Way more better and successful
more
than the other.
More better is never a good
more,
way.
He's
to
much
make a
more
point.
Better. Much more better.
Jesus.
All right. It doesn't make sense. Tarantino is doing it scene by scene basis. This guy's doing this one shot. I don't think, again, you said this is one of Ethan Hawke's best movies. Do you remember Training Day?
Okay, yeah, you're right. Training Day is great. But Ethan Hawke in this movie, firstly, he's carrying it a little bit, right? Because all the emotional turmoil is coming from him because he came and she didn't show up.
So there's nothing else in the movie except for him and her.
Okay, fair.
And her sucks, which we just established. So, duh, he's going to carry this movie. What else is going to carry this movie?
Right? Like, he's putting up the facade. Right? Uh-huh. And, like, whenever he is a little awkward or laughing a little too much, and sometimes, you know, I could tell that they're acting. You know when that happens in a movie, right? It's really bad. But then I realized that the reason they are letting me feel that way is because they are acting. They are acting out how they should act towards each other until the end when it becomes so natural. And then, like, small things. He's, like, brutalized to hear that she was living in the U.S., in New York. You know, and then he laughingly says, well, my life's just been a big nosedive since, but, you know, no problem, you don't show up. You can tell that he's actually feeling it. Like, we all talk like that sometimes. He's actually, like, constantly pushing her. He wants things to become sexual. He's dragging her to a bench. All that, all those little things, that's what acting is, bro. It doesn't need to be like, oh, Training Day, I'm crying, I'm getting almost dying, and then, like, giving up my boss. I haven't seen it in a while, okay?
Giving up my boss. Brother, I'm just eagerly awaiting the day you do fall in love. And I want to have a chat with you 6 months after that moment.
It better be with a French girl, bro, because, you know.
Whoever, bro, loves love. Love is blind, brother.
Love is love.
And is blind.
Love is love.
Yeah. And is not this movie.
Section 377, bro. Love is love. These 1 hour, 10 minutes of this movie are the best encapsulation of love I've seen since maybe the first version of this movie. But now I'm 31. The characters are like that age. You know, better version. This is what real love is to me right now.
Okay, and then are you going to wait like 7 years and watch Before Midnight and be like, wow?
Hopefully by then I will be in a situation where I can appreciate that, you know? I love these movies, Dan. They're so good. And the ending to this movie, you brought up Before Midnight again. Dude, imagine like if you're invested and not heartless and actually care about these characters. You don't know whether they get together or not. He just like looks at her when she's singing. I don't know what's the singer.
You can try sing it.
She's imitating. No, I'll just do my French then. Merci, au revoir, bonsoir. You know, and then she's doing that little dance, that erotic thing, and she's like, "Oh, baby, you're gonna miss that plane." And he's like, "I know."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm about to say, Vikram?
KLPD.
No.
Oh.
No. What? No. Just like Empire Strikes Back, she's basically saying, you know, miss that plane, I love you. And just like Han Solo, he's like, I know. And what do you know? He does miss the plane.
This movie is more Speed 2 Cruise Control than Empire Strikes Back.
Ouch.
And that wraps up this week's episode of Film Feud. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. Now we feuded and you get to decide who you think won the feud. Me? The winner or Vikram, the loser.
Whenever you self-proclaim your winner, it just shows that you're weak in the knees.
Seems to be working for certain presidents of the United States.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for listening. And you can find us on YouTube and you can vote in the comments over there. You can go on our social media at Muncher Movies on Instagram, Facebook or whatever. And you can find us on all podcatchers everywhere.
You can also find us on our website, munchermovies.com.
Until next week.
Bye-bye.